Good morning. Welcome to St. Andrew Lutheran Church, and especially if you're visiting today, thank you for being here, and we hope that you hear something that is comforting or challenging for you in your life of faith. But a special welcome today to the family of Everly May, who is baptized. We're so thankful that all of you are here as we get to share in her life in Christ, and we'll certainly be keeping her in our prayers as she continues to grow in life and faith. A few announcements just to share with you. First is that there will not be church on Thursday this week. There will also not be confirmation on Wednesday evening because there will be worship on Wednesday evening at 6:15. We'll have a Thanksgiving Eve service, so if having communion would be a blessing to you in this week of Thanksgiving, we will have it available here 6:15 on Wednesday evening. And then Thursday, between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., if you have no plans for Thanksgiving and would like to not cook or clean, come and eat here at church. There's so much food. It's really wonderful to be together with people. It's for everyone. So anyone who wants to come can be here and join in the lunch and the celebration from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Thursday. Also, you see that our associate pastor call process timeline is moving along. So with over a 99% affirmative vote, we're really excited that we've extended a call to Pastor Justin Smoot. He's currently serving in Northeast Indiana at a congregation, and we will be making his introductory video and some other information available about him once he has notified his congregation of his resignation. So we'll give him the space to do that. He has a 30-day window, and with the holiday in there, it's an interesting time. So he's going to be working with them to lead them well. And then he'll have some time. He was so excited to hear the news. He's already started to look into moving options. And please do keep him in your prayers as he prepares to come and be here, likely at the end of January, after the annual meeting. Our liturgy today is setting 3, and so if you are a visitor, just a word that's the smaller numbers on the bottom of the page at the front. And then also when we get to the gathering song, we did have a bit of a misprint moving from Thursday to Sunday. We will sing all 4 verses of our first song, Lift High the Cross. But first, thank you to the handbell choir for being here to get our hearts and minds ready for worship with a call to worship. Thank you. together and join in the confession and forgiveness, which is in the inside back cover of the hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, recognizing our need for God's mercy, let us confess our sin and seek reconciliation with God and each other. God of justice and compassion, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not been faithful stewards of your creation. We have failed to share the bounty of your harvest with the poor and needy. Forgive our sin, increase our faith, strengthen us in service, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Heaven rejoices when a sinner repents and a lost sheep is found. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in singing our gathering song, number 660, all four verses. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for the peace from above and for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you. We glorify you. We give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd invite the children forward for a message. Good morning. Yeah. So who knows what this week is? Thanksgiving. And what's Thanksgiving about? Yeah.
Turkey.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
It's Thanksgiving that you celebrate it.
You celebrate it? Yep. Yeah. You give thanks, just like the name says, right? What are we giving thanks for?
Turkey.
Everything. Turkey. Yeah. Yep. When the pilgrims found America, that first Thanksgiving, they had made it through a really rough time, and they shared a meal with friends. Yeah. Do you remember? You want to think about it? Being thankful for what you have. Exactly. You got it. So we do this in small ways every day when we can say thank you. But one of the things that I think about when I think of Thanksgiving is praying before dinner. So does anybody pray before dinner at their house? Yeah? What are some of the prayers you pray? Does anybody have one memorized? Let's see if we can do this one. God is great. God is good. Let us thank God for this food. You got that one. What other prayers do you say before dinner?
Thank you,
You got one?
The one that we're practicing.
Yeah? What's that one? Do you remember? The Lord's Prayer?
Yeah.
Should we try that one?
Sure.
Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. You almost got it. You guys are close. I heard a lot of you say it. Any other prayers? Yeah. What you say what you're thankful for? Yeah. What's your prayer?
The apple seed
one. The apple seed one? Oh, the Lord is good to me. And so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord is good to me. Amen. 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 You guys know that one? You do that one? Do you guys know the Superman one?
Yeah.
Should we try that one? Gabby knows it. Ready? Goes, thank you, God, for giving us food. Thank you, God, for giving us food. For the food that we eat. For the friends that we meet. Thank you, God, for giving us food. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, you got it. So we actually say thankful. We say grace before a meal to thank God for the food that we have, but it's actually a great opportunity to thank God for everything that we have, because all that we are and all that we have and all that we bring and all that we need comes from God. So this week, as we have our Thanksgiving celebrations, maybe help your family to remind each other to thank God for all that we have and all that we are and all that we bring and all that we need. So let's close with a prayer, and we'll close with a prayer that I learned growing up, and it sounds like this. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Okay, so that'll be our prayer. Ready? Let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Thanks for coming down. You guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and have a good time. You can head off to Sunday school. Some of you have practice?
Yeah. The one that we pray for, we actually sing that as well.
Oh, you do? That's really cool. That's awesome. Thanks for coming up. Okay. If anybody has a speaking part in the Christmas program, you can go to the chapel, which is just by the nursery. And Stephanie's waving. She's headed there now. So if anybody else wants to go, they can.
Good morning. Today's first reading is from Jeremiah 23:1-6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Psalm 46 is appointed this morning for us. In the psalm section, if you turn the hymnal to the side, there's a stripe. You'll find Psalm 46 there, and we'll read responsively by whole verse. our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult, God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Second reading is from Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the body. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Gospel according to Luke. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved himself. Let him save others if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been justly condemned, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So I didn't realize I was out of soap until I was in the shower without soap. And I had known that I was going to be running out, and so I put it on the list. But every time I went to the store, I just seemingly kept forgetting to buy body wash. So the That day, I found myself in Walgreens, and I thought, I'll just pick something up. And of course, they didn't have the kind that I like. So there I am in the aisle with a body wash, squeezing the bottles gently, just trying to smell the scent to get, you know, a little flavor for what they smell like. And I'm realizing that I'm not happy with any of them, because none of them are the one. The one that I like is at Target, which is all the way on the other side of town, and I'm here. We have so many choices, don't we? We can stand in an aisle and decide from a whole bunch of options that we have. We decide what we want to eat for breakfast every day, and we can change it up if we want to, or we can keep it the same. We decide how we watch our TV. There's cable, there's dish, there's Netflix, there's satellite, there's Hulu, there's all of these on-demand options. And then there are bigger choices. There are choices like how we use our money, or where we get health care, or whether or not we'll tend to our bodies and our minds. We choose our values, and we choose if we'll let those values manifest themselves in our lives. We choose where to put a deer stand, although the hunters are probably not here, so I could have left that line out of my sermon. Maybe some of you are. We are free people. So is it like that with God, too? Do we have just all these options in an aisle somewhere where we can decide what we desire for God to be like for us? I would argue that it's not like that. That God has chosen what kind of God we have. So we live in this country where we have a First Amendment that gives us freedom to have opinions and express them, and we can decide if we'll listen up to someone's voice on any given topic. We can even decide what to believe and to what extent we'll practice those beliefs, and we can be here on a Sunday morning without fear that we will be under threat or in harm's way when we leave worship. And many of us believe that that's the case, or should be the case, for everyone. So today, in the life of the church, we celebrate Christ the King, or the reign of Christ. It's more than a metaphor. We're claiming that we have a certain kind of God in Christ Jesus. One God. A King who does what we say he does in the creed. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he judges the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. You heard it in the Lord's Prayer that we just prayed together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our certain kind of king has a certain kind of kingdom. And we pray for it to come and be revealed among us. So we live in a tension, you and I. Who we claim Christ to be and the king that we claim Christ is for us and for the world opens up before us this tension where we live with so many choices. And yet the kind of king, the kind of savior we have in Jesus Christ isn't really one of them. Because God has chosen. We have a certain kind of king in him who has made choices on our behalf. So this is the kind of king we have. A forgiving king. A saving king. A self-sacrificing lamb. A shepherd. Our king is Jesus, who is a crucified king. And Jesus brings with him a certain kind of kingdom. If we examine his story close, we see this from the very beginning. Because the angels declare to the shepherds in the field, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the anointed king. From the beginning, that kingdom he would bring would be both of this world and in this world, born to life in a humble barn and cradled in the arms of his mother, placed in a manger. But also that same ordinary child would bring a heavenly kingdom so close so that God's nearness could be understood in human terms and on human turf. So this reign, Christ's reign, pulls in the disconnected. And it reaches out to the disenfranchised, the never good enoughs, and the nobodies. This is the kind of king that we worship. And we hear about that kingdom early on in Luke's gospel when Mary responds to the news that she's going to bring her Savior into the world. So she proclaims, "You've cast the mighty down from their thrones, and you've lifted up the lowly. And you filled the hungry with good things, and you sent the rich away empty. Christ, our King, brings a reign that is full of social agendas, and it made people angry from the get-go because it messed up the order of things and it jolted the status quo so as to show God's people that there is so much more in this world than what it seems. Right after Jesus begins his ministry, he publicly speaks for the first time in his own hometown. It's Luke chapter 4, and he reads from the scroll in Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, made me king, to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free." After reading that passage, Jesus rolls up the scroll and says to everyone, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And man, did that make people with choices really angry. This is what happened next. All in the synagogue were filled with rage, and they got up and drove him out of town and led him to the brow of the hill so that they might hurl him off a cliff. What kind of king? The kind of king they wanted to hurl off a cliff, a challenger and an instigator, a king who was concerned with the poor and the blind and the oppressed. This is a rejected king. This is a crucified king. Today before us, we have the cross. It's an odd time of year to hear the story of Jesus' death. Seems to sit better in Holy Week or Lent. But here we have the cross just before we head into the season of Advent. More accurately, we have three crosses. And the king is crucified between two convicted criminals, one on his right and one on his left. I think about those two guys. I wonder what their names were. And I wonder what kind of choices they had made to bring them to such an ending. But did you notice that everybody who was there standing before those three crosses had something to say about Jesus' kingship? It was the leaders who scoffed and said, "He saved himself. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah of God." And then the soldiers mock, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." They had in their minds what a king was and was not, and clearly this crucified king was not the kind of king that they would choose. But I wonder here at this point, why didn't Jesus save himself? Why didn't he come down from the cross and show everybody that he was stronger and mightier than any king? I think we can find a clue in the conversation that happens next between the two men hanging on their crosses and Jesus himself. So one of the guys follows suit and he wants him to save him through some kind of power that everybody else was teasing him for claiming to have. Save yourself and us. But the other guy seems to know what it all means. That Jesus was the kind of king that would give up his life for the sake of his kingdom and the ones that he loves. That he would willingly give up his life through a great show of mighty humility and love. But for everyone who is looking for real freedom and real life, Jesus would offer solidarity with the suffering and even the dying. And all this guy wanted to do was be remembered. And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We don't shop for God. We don't have all of the choices in the world of a God that we would like to have created in our image. But instead, we have been created in God's image. We finite and suffering human beings that God loves have been created in a cruciform image. And so my question today is, who rules your life? What kind of God do you have? Who makes or breaks promises that give frame to your existence? Who grants you freedom and allows you to truly live without fear of death or dying? I think lately we've been processing as a society very publicly what is necessary for those who lead among us. We've been thinking and we've been praying about the kind of reign and rule that one should have, or what we would all prefer, what we would desire our kingdom to be like in this world, not only for us, but for everyone. Here's where I find blessing. God decided long ago. God made the choice. And God chose you. God chose life for you. God chose healing for you. God chose strength for you. And God chose courage for you. And we see that in Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't know about you, but it is my default setting to be the king of my own life. I recognize, though, that the freedom that I have when I choose that does not always lead me down the right road. With so many choices, we do choose wrong sometimes. But even in our choosing wrong, there's a gift. Because God did not come in Christ as an authoritarian dictator who would crush foreign armies and keep the taxes of Bethlehem low. God came in Jesus as a crucified king who would rule from a place of deep understanding with all the things that you are experiencing now in your human existence. And he chose to go with you. His journey to the cross would become a sign for us that our king would rule from that place, from humility. So Christ is king, but thanks be to God, we don't have a choice. Instead, we are chosen. And in his passion, he took away the choice for us to believe that there's no hope. And he took away the choice for us to believe that it is not possible to live into a better day than the world that we see currently. So even when we find ourselves at the dark or at the bottom or near the end, Jesus says, my dear, today. What kind of king? A king that says, today, I will be born among you. And today, the scripture has been fulfilled and God's promise is yours in its hearing. And today, you are with me in paradise. Thanks be to God. Amen. May be seated, and there's a slight misprint in your bulletin. I'd invite you to turn to page 227. It's 227 at the front of your hymnal for the order of holy baptism for Everly May Mayor. In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity, but by water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God, made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
We present Everly May for baptism.
Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have Everly May baptized into Christ?
We do.
As you bring her to receive the gift of baptism, you're entrusted with responsibilities to live with Everly May among God's faithful people, to bring her to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in her hands the Holy Scriptures, and to nurture her in faith and prayer so that Everly may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others in the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help Everly May grow in the Christian faith and life?
We do.
Sponsors, do you promise to nurture Everly May in the Christian faith as you're empowered by God's Spirit and to help her live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church?
We do.
People of God, do you promise to support Everly May and pray for her in her new life in Christ? Please stand as you are able. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and the earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. And through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. In the river Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Ready? Okay, come over. Everly May, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And together we say, you belong to Christ, in whom you have been baptized. Hallelujah. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Everly May with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Everly May, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have been marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. So, Everly May, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us welcome Everly May, the newly baptized, with these words. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. We stand together for prayer. Welcome. Let us pray. God, you are our righteousness. Fill us with the hope of steadfast love and shine light on places that were invisible to us so that we see your kingdom made visible on earth. Lord, in your mercy. God, you are exalted among nations. Protect the people and countries ravaged by violence and warfare and hatred, and raise up wise and generous leaders to find their strength in you. Lord, in your mercy. God, you are our help in times of trouble. Like a shepherd who guards the sheep, watch over your flock, especially those who are sick and hurting in body, mind, or spirit, those who are mocked, those who are lonely, and those who are dying. Lord, in your mercy. God, you call us forth from this place to live lives of service. Equip the outreach ministries of this congregation, especially those who work at the Wausau Warming Center. Use our hands and feet, sharing Christ's love with neighbors in need. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, the beginning and the end, we rejoice that one day we will share in the inheritance of the saints. In thanksgiving, we remember those who have gone before us. Lord, in your mercy. Rejoicing in hope, we lift our prayers to you, most gracious Lord, trusting that you have received them in your care. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share Christ's peace with one another. She did great. Let's see if she lets this happen. Let's see. Did we get it? All right. There we go. Let's thank Everly and share with her how much Jesus loves her. Thank you for the gifts that you do share. Let us pray. God, our Creator, you give us all we are, all we have, all we bring, and all we need. Draw us together around your table with all your saints, on earth and in your eternal home. Let us eat and drink your promise of new life, that we might be your promise to the world, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is Christ's table. It is open to all. You may be seated. Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, God, our host, for inviting us here to taste the future when you will feed all the hungry at your table. Keep this hope alive in us and in our communities so that we might bring hope to a suffering world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We sing our sending song number 838. Serve the Lord.